The Wealth Professional Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to the Wealth Professional Podcast. I'm Joe Rosengarten, and in the second part of this special series, I'm joined once again by the legendary advisor, investor, and CEO of financial planning firm Madderville, Michael Leachin. In this, part two, Michael talks putting money where your mouth is, his efforts to democratize opportunities for wealth creation, and he tells me what advisors should look for in a brokerage in 2019.
For an advisor in 2019, what should they be looking for? What should they expect when they're looking for a brokerage to work with?
They should look. It doesn't make sense leaving one firm to another if you're making a lateral move with respect to what the client is seeing. So if you move from one bank-owned firm to another, that's a lateral move, because from the client's perspective, there's no difference. One should be looking for a firm that has that is differentiated. Madderville is differentiated because we started off with the premise that we are here to create wealth for clients, and we lead by example, right? We lead by example. So there is a certain amount of honesty. So that's what we do at Madderville. So a firm, advisors should be looking for firms that are differentiated. Secondly, that have a reputation for something. In the case of Madderville, our reputation is we promise our clients that we will give them a portfolio that's a combination of public and private. And the private entities' assets that we are promoting are of the highest quality that the most erudite, knowledgeable institutional investor would salivate to access. And thirdly, advisors should be looking for a firm that are focused on clients' needs, first and foremost.
So I wanted to get some of your deeper views on the financial services industry as a whole now. And you have been quoted as saying that the industry is dysfunctional. Tell me what led you to say that.
Well, again, it's wealth is created by living by the future value formula. FV equals PV times, which is the present value of money, times 1 plus the rate of return you make on your money, times the time that your money is working for you. So if you want to create wealth, you have to maximize all of those three variables. Maximize the amount of money working for you today. Secondly, you have to maximize the rate of return. And thirdly, you have to maximize time. To maximize the PV, which is the amount of money you're working for you today, you can either steal the capital, you can win it, you can marry into it, or you can borrow it. So if we are not sitting with clients and saying, let us look at your portfolio, let us look at your financial situation, let us see how we're going to maximize PV so that you have the compounding working, the compounding forces working for you. If we are not doing that, then we are not being optimal with our clients. Secondly, rate of return. If you pension funds, they get their rate of returns not from the public assets, generally speaking. That gives pension funds liquidity. Their rate of return come from the illiquid component of their portfolio, which is the private component of their portfolio, because they're taking advantage of the illiquidity discount. Most securities dealers do not give clients the opportunity to take advantage of the illiquidity discount, and which increases your rate of return, the second variable. And thirdly, time. We have to make sure we do all of these things as soon as possible.
Hence,
if we are not doing those exercises as soon as possible, we are violating the mathematical principle of creating wealth. And then we could talk about asset allocation again. Our asset allocation that we are giving to clients, which I hate to sound like a broken record, but asset or asset allocation that is within the context of only publicly traded liquid securities, that's wrong. Because you're not going to one isn't going to create any wealth doing that. It's good for the clients. Sorry, it's good for the firms. Yes, because the business now become very scalable quickly. You can buy and sell publicly traded securities instantly. So that business is scalable, but it's not the best thing for the clients.
So this democratizing opportunities for wealth creation, I know this is at the heart of the Mandeville philosophy. Talk to me why it's such an important philosophy for you, and you know how it manifests itself in what Mandeville does.
Everything that I own today, the wealth that I've created today, is a function of the fact that I started off as an advisor. And I had clients, and they supported me, and they gave me that platform. So I'm forever beholden to recognizing where I came from. And when I look at our industry, is not being respectful of clients' needs. So I decided when I sold Berkshire and AIC to start a business that is respectful of clients' needs, because there has to be somewhere. We have to start a movement. We have to start, and you have to start it by taking a position and building a dealership from scratch with a philosophy like Mandeville is not easy. So very few people can afford the burn rate before you get to a critical mass. Very few people, no public company is going to tolerate that. But I'm doing it because I'm beholden to my roots, my clients. And I want to make sure that there is a beacon within our industry that will eventually lead the way, change the narrative, us leading by example, change the narrative, and so that clients can be better served. So it's a passion of mine to make sure that I do what is in the best interest of clients. If I had gone off, retired, who would have taken up the mantle? Very few people can afford it and who would want to suffer through the startup phase.
What else is Mandeville and Portland Investment Council, your related company, doing to democratize opportunities for wealth creation?
Well, we're bringing to the marketplace products that are differentiated, and we have been recognized for those products by the Private Capital Markets Association of Canada. Consecutive years, we have been Fund of the Year, starting with the GREF Fund, Global Energy Efficient and Renewable Energy Fund, whereby our clients are co-investing with the European Investment Bank, the sovereign states of Germany and Norway. That was Fund of the Year a few years back. Then secondly, our Private Income Fund was Fund of the Year. Thirdly, our Focus Plus Fund was Fund of the Year by the PCMA. Fourthly, our Bay and Scollard Real Estate Project was Fund of the Year. So we have brought to the marketplace products that are unavailable anywhere else. But if your focus is to sift through the mass of available products to find that gem, if that's your focus, then you will find those gems. But if your focus is instant scalability, then you will get distracted and just bring chaff to the marketplace.
And talk to me about the importance of access. It's something that you talk about a lot. And the fact that these types of opportunities can be available to all investors, not just those who are accredited.
Well, Mandeville is in a very fortunate position, because Mandeville is part of the Portland Group. The Portland Group would include the National Commercial Bank of Jamaica, Guardian Holdings Limited, which is the largest insurance company in the Caribbean, and the Clarion Bank of Bermuda. So that gives us buying power. And if you think about it, because of our buying power, we therefore have access when there's a fundraise by, say, Brookfield or any large sponsor, they're going to call us. Or we go out, and because of our reputation, we are called. Whether it's GREF, the European Investment Bank, calling me, because the European Investment Bank, which is the largest private institution, financial institution in the world, they are our clients, Portland's clients. They call, by the way, the Treasury of the United States, OPIC, is our client. The Treasury of the Canadian government through EDC is our client. So we have buying power. So therefore, having buying power gives us access. And all we're doing is using that access and giving clients the opportunity to participate in that quality that would never be available to them.
We've spoken previously about the big bank brokerages and some of the restrictions that are in place there. Talk to me about the power of independence in this industry and what that means for the end client and the advisor as well.
Well, again, at the end of the day, we all have to know who pays our bills. And it's our clients who pays our bills, irrespective of who our sponsoring company is. It's our clients who pay our bills. So if we take the approach that we're working on behalf of our clients, that will keep us on the right path. If we're being influenced by virtue of and corralled into a small universe of the available financial products, and if that universe is primarily the public markets, then we really should ask ourselves the question, in whose best interest are we working? Is it in our client's best interest, or is it in the firm's best interest? And if we do not ask that question, challenge ourselves, and then once we have come to an answer, have the strength of conviction to act accordingly, then eventually we'll be out of business because we have missed the mark. We'll be irrelevant to clients. So independence starts off with the advisor, who should have an independent mind, and then work backwards from that and have an environment that is supportive of that independent mind. And that's what we do at Manil.
Mm. So there is a perception among some that private investments are more risky because they're seen as not being regulated or less regulated. How do you respond to that?
Well, I'd respond to yes. In both cases, whether regulated or unregulated, you have risky investments because regulators do not opine on the quality of the investments, right? They don't. So it's a false sense of security that you, when you buy a public listed security, you are somehow protected in any way. You're not. At the end of the day, you will make a better decision if you have more information. If I'm buying into a private entity, the vendor of that private entity has to give me access to all every piece of information I require. So I can go in and I can read emails, I can look at executive compensation, I can look at lawsuits that are available, that are current, I can look at track record for executives, I can look at all the information that are relevant to a sound business. So I have more access than in the public. When I buy a publicly traded security, all I'm depending on is the information proffered to me by the Investor Relations Department, which is heavily filtered.
Look out for the next and final part of my sit down with Michael, where we chat growing up in Jamaica, starting out as a mutual fund salesman, and becoming the only advisor in the world to reach the Forbes billionaire list.